नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे हरि ओम। इज व्हाट 9th ऑगस्ट सैटरडे 9th ऑगस्ट फ्राइडे 9th ऑगस्ट बलराम देश Hare Krishna. So, anyone who has questions, you can ask and give it back to me. Hold it like this and give it back. I think I'll tell one. I will tell one story.
Yes.
To start with. Icebreaker. There's a place called Lalita Kund in Nandigaon. How many of you have been there? Anybody has been there? Lalita Kund in Nandigaon. Yes. Very old. It is called as Barsana Embassy in Nandigaon. It is a place where Lalita ji has a very beautiful pond. Lalita Devi is Radharani's friend. And it is a place where one time Radha and Krishna. Please come and print in front. Don't sit behind. Okay. Don't sit behind. Sit in front. So, one time, Radha and Krishna were supposed to be swung on Jula. And all the preparations were being done. Radha and Krishna to be swung. And somehow, Radharani got late. So Krishna already was there, Lalita was there as the organizer of the event, and Narad Muni came there. Narad Muni said, anyway, Lalita Devi is there, you are there, why don't you swing? Radharani comes, he can swing. So Lalita said, no, it is not my situation to be part of this event, it is meant for them. So Narad Muni said, no, you still can, they can still come and swing together afterwards. Now you are there, you can swing. So thus he coaxed them. Finally, Lalita Devi reluctantly sat on the jhula with Krishna. And the sakhis swung them nicely. As soon as Lalita Devi sat on the swing, Narad Muni went to Barsana and told Radharani that Lalita is swinging with Krishna. And Radharani came very angrily. He saw Lalita Devi swinging with Krishna. She felt very upset and she got angry and she went away. So, that is one story there. Another story is very beautiful story. Huh? Everybody is settled? This story is very interesting story. So, please listen to this story. This is the first meeting of Radha and Krishna in Barsana. Anybody remembers where did they meet first in this material world? Yes, a travel they met first, because Narad Muni also was involved in that. Narad Muni is everywhere. He is involved everywhere. The transcendental man.
Transcendental
spaceman. So when they shifted to, all of you know the story, right? That when it became too much in Raval and Gopul, every day demons are coming, attacking. So there is Nanda Baithak in Mathura, in Gokul also. In Nanda Baithak in Nandagaon also. Nanda Baithak in Kamyavan also. These are meeting places where all the higher advanced, senior men, covered men, they meet and they discuss about daily situations, discuss about Krishna's pastime that day, what we can do, how to serve him best. So they assembled there and decided that now it is too much. We have come here at the bank of Yamuna to receive our children as our children. And they are born, and but for their birth, every day there is terrorism happening here. So we should better move back to our original place. So very ceremoniously they moved back to their own places, Barsana and Dandigaon. And then one day in Barsana, they were playing a hide and seek game. That means one Sakhi is captured as a captive, and her eyes are blindfolded. And then everybody else goes and hides. And then she has to find them. And first one she catches and finds, that person has to be blindfolded. So one Sakhi was blindfolded and everybody ran in the forest to hide. So Radharani went in one forest. The forest is very close to the border of Barsana at the beginning of Sanket village. It's called Ghazipur. And there is a place called Gopal Mandir where one Rajput king had a dream, and Gopal came in his dream and told that, please establish my temple here. So that king has established a temple there, Gopal Mandir. And there used to be Jamuna flowing there. Please come. Please come. Come in front. So Radha Krishna later on performed their boat pastimes there, called Dongi Lila. Dongi Lila means, Dongi is a small boat. And they used to row the boat there. Anyways, so this is the forest, very deep forest. It's at the border of Barsana near Ghazipur, where Radharani went and hid herself. It's a very dark, thick bush. And when Radharani went there to hide, suddenly she saw a blue boy there, who had come just wandering, playing flute. He was sitting in the bush, wandering here and there, and they just saw one another. As soon as they saw one another, the boy fainted and fell in the bush. And Radharani felt very compassionate to him. Oh, this young, beautiful boy. She felt so much love for him. But he felt unconscious, so she had to go and give care, nurse him, assist him, bring him back to consciousness. By the time she was contemplating what to do and how to do, suddenly the call came, hey, we found out, please come back, somebody is caught in the game. So Lalitadevi is shouting, Radharani, Vrishabhanu, Nandini, where are you, please come. So she is like going to the boy and the call is coming, finally very reluctantly with heavy heart, she goes back. When she goes back, she is very, very morose and unhappy. That beautiful blue boy needed my help, and my heart is melting thinking of him. And looking at me, he fainted down. What kind of girl I am? So she went home, very morose heart. And she stopped eating and drinking. Stopped talking to anybody. Stopped going to play with anybody. All Sakhis are upset. They are going and talking to mother, Kirtida, why is this girl is not coming? She has given up water and food and drink and everything. And then there in Nandagaon, after a long time, this boy woke up from unconsciousness. He had felt unconscious not because of any disease. He had a disease of love that he had inflicted with. Seeing that beautiful girl of Barsana, he was totally enamored and he fell down. A long time after he woke up and he saw nobody is there. So he became very morose, so much thinking of that girl. He went back home. The favorite butter that he is every day having, he is not having that day. He is not talking to anybody. He is not listening to the lullaby mother is singing every day. He is not ready to break bath in the evening that mother would give every day evening. Nothing, no interest in life. Simply morose and just staring at one place. Not sleeping also. So Lalita Devi was called by Mother Yashoda. They look at this boy, he is not eating makhan, he is not doing anything. Lalita Devi was called by Kirti Maya also. Look at this girl. She is not eating anything, not doing anything. What is wrong with them? So she said, let me sit with her alone. Then I will diagnose her disease. So then she goes inside, everybody goes away, and then she says, please tell me, Vrishabhanu, Nandini, what is your problem? So she said that one day when we were playing hide and seek, I went to one bush in the deep forest and one blue boy was there with flute in the hand, with peacock feather, and he fell unconscious and I could not help him. You all called me, so I had to rush back. I feel so morose and so much, my life is like vacant without this boy. I want to see him. So then she went, she said, don't worry, I will solve your problem. So she went to Yashoda Mai and said, I will like to meet this boy alone. I will try to find out what is the problem. And he told her, I was in the bush, and I was just wandering. Suddenly a beautiful girl came, and I fell unconscious. And then I was so much in love with her, and then I woke up and she was not there. Nobody was there. I don't know where she went. Where is she now? Where is she now? He said, don't worry, I will help you out. So then Lalita Devi, Sudha had a great faith in her that she will do something. So she said, I will just take him out, you know, and amuse him. So she takes him to Lalita Kund. She calls all the girlfriends there. And she gives him bath over there. And there she decorates him as a bride. Is that right? Bridegroom. And it is said that they really dressed him so well. And they bring him to one village. See, there is beautiful, there are so many villages on the way from Nandagaon to Barsana. One of the villages is called Pehnavali. Pehnavali. So they bring him, give bathing at Lalita Kund, and they bring him at Pehnavali. And at Pehnavali, all the girls, they dress him up nicely. Matlab, they wore him dresses nicely, put ornaments and everything. And then another village is there, that is called as Kajrotha. Kajrotha is a place where they put him kajal, and fully decorated him as a boy, you know. And they brought him to Nandagaon to Barsana. And that's how Lalita Devi arranged a meeting of Krishna and Radharani for the first time. Of course, they met there, eyesight met there, but then officially Radharani was arranged to meet Krishna. And that's how both of them were pacified. So Lalita Devi's kund is very special kund. It is meant to find out what is happening in Nandagaon and to inform Krishna, inform Radharani, and do things accordingly. Hare Krishna. They met in the same place, Gopal temple place, Dongi Jila. And there they had, in fact they actually went, now I remember, this is all Prem Sarovar Band. Prem Sarovar is in the middle of Prem Sarovar forest. So they met in Prem Sarovar actually. First time also and second time also. There only they met. Hare Krishna. Now you have enough questions to ask after this story.
They recognize
each other as the eternal lovable partners.
And that's where they feel.
It's like when Lord Ram saw Sita, before even he actually went for that, Vishwamitra had said, you please come and see the bow. So they had gone there to see the bow, and then they were supposed to meet next day in the assembly hall. But previous day only, when Ramchandra was wandering here and there, Sita Devi was plucking flowers. And what happened? When they saw, they both understood, we are meant for each other.
The first meeting, Prabhu, was like when Radharani was not opening her eyes.
Yeah, that I told discussed. We discussed that. There are different stages, na? This is two infant Leela. Then Bal Leela afterwards. Hare Krishna. So one manah bhava mad bhakto matyaji mam namaskar. Always think of Krishna. And if possible, think of Radharani. Then when you think of Radharani, those who think of Radharani, Krishna comes running after them. Find out who is thinking about his beloved. That's the secret of Kali Yuga. If anybody wants to attract the attention of Krishna, it's very difficult to attract the attention of Krishna. It's not possible only. One time when peacock went to Barsana, Nandagaon, and he wanted to call Krishna, so he called Krishna by various names. Krishna, Shyam Sundar, Nanda Nandana, Yashovati Nandana, Gopal, Govinda, he called like anything. He's crying tears in unlimitedly, but no response. So he came back to Barsana. Someone told him, Radharani will solve your problem. Why Krishna is not responding? So he went to Barsana and called Radharani. Hey, Vrishabhanu Nandini, hey, Radhika. Immediately Radhika came running. and took the peacock in hand and said, why are you crying? Sir, I went to Nandagaon and Krishna is not responding. What to do? Such a useless life, my life is so useless that I am calling but Krishna is not responding. What to do? So he said, no problem. You go again to Nandagaon. And this time when you go to Nandagaon, don't call Krishna. Say, Radhe, Vrishabhanu Nandini. Please say, hey Radhe, hey Vrishabhanu Nandini. This time you say this and you see the miracle what happens. So he went with great hope. And as soon as he could have finished the word Radhe, Krishna was there already. Down. Before he uttered the full word, he was already there and he was so happy. He took the peacock feather in his lap and with his lotus fingers, he was caressing him. And peacock was shivering. His feathers stood up. You know, like his hair stood up. His feathers stood up. His tears were flowing from his eyes. In so much ecstasy. And in ecstasy, the feathers which stood up, they were let down from the body. Fell from the body down. And Krishna lifted one and put on his crown. And since that day, he is putting the crown of peacock feather. So, secret of calling Krishna's attention is calling Radharani's name. When we say Ra, it is said that all the sufferings of the material world, they get finished. The repeated cycles of birth and death get finished. The probability of entering into a mother's womb, garbhavas, that is destroyed. All miseries get destroyed. And when you say Dha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Shri Krishna starts running behind that person who is calling that name Radha. And he awards them choicest, the highest devotion to that person. Dhayati sa sambramaha. He runs behind that person as if he is bewildered and confused. Completely enamored by the thought of Radharani, who that person is calling. He goes behind that person. So that person, as we discussed in the morning, who is unavailable to so many tapis and dhyanis and yogis, who are millions of years they are performing tapasya. But still they can't see one ray of the toe of Krishna. What to speak of seeing him? What to speak of seeing the toe itself? Not even one ray can be seen. But that personality, it is said that he is, the gopis tie him with their hair and make him dance at their whims. Simply out of love. So he is not impressed by any yoga, any tapasya, any austerities, any sacrifices, any charity, or any good activities, karma kanda, agnihotra, nothing attracts him except devotion, loving service to him. When there is love, then he becomes subservient. So that is the theme of life in Barsana. Everybody actually controls him by the power of love. Just like that. That is why in that place there is no demon. They don't want to interrupt their deep, intimate, intense sentiments of love by any demons coming and giving. When demon come, you have to interrupt your leela and you have to come into Virras and kill him and then take bath and everything. So it takes a lot of time. They don't want to get interrupted with all these formalities of the world. Although Krishna loves to perform his Virras activities, but at times he doesn't want to get disturbed. So these activities, you know, like I just explained to you, meeting of Radha and Krishna, are so intense, you know. A demon cannot come in between and just disturb. So, in one beautiful pastime, they have made sure that no demon will come. Like that. Yes.
If Radha, this name, like direct name is so potent, then why we are calling indirectly as Hare? Like Hare is indirectly we are calling Radharani's name.
Radha and Hare.
Yeah, but you said like Radha is the most potent. So Hare is also same.
Yes. There's no difference. It's all absolute. If the Lord has formed or organized or constructed or formed a particular sequence of names for you and me, how it can be less potent? Why he will come all the way from Golok Vrindavan to come down to give you something number two? He has come down to give you number one, the topmost of benefit. So there is no difference. Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna is not more powerful than Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You should not think like that. It is same.
When you say Ra, it should be for the intention of telling Radha's name, no?
Yes.
Not something else. Okay.
Not Ravan's name.
Ram also, Ram. Of course, Ram also, it's
a... One time, Ravan went to the kuti of Vibhishan. And you know, Vibhishan was so bold actually. In the middle of the kingdom of Lord, I mean, Ravan, he was chanting Ram's name so openly and he was like such a bold person. So Ravan went to the kuti of Vibhishan one day and he saw every wall, every inch was filled with Ram's name. He was very angry with him. He said, "What is this? You stay in my kingdom and take the name of my enemy and ride everywhere in the house." He said, "No, it is your name only." He said, "Ra is Ravan, Ma is Mandodari." So Ravan was very happy. I am only chanting your name, I am not chanting Ram's name. Just, I want to include both of you in short form, you know, so I am including Ram. So ultimately, he pacified Ravan by that. But because Krishna is Bhavagrahi, Krishna accepts the Bhav. What is in his heart of his heart, that Krishna accepts. Externally, who cares? So you can imagine how much difficult it must have been. Like for Prahlad, how much difficult was him for him to do all that he did in such a pratikul, such a unfavorable conditions to maintain his high devotion in such a atmosphere. Anybody can say he is, one is at, in that condition of Prahlad, such an atrocious atmosphere. Nobody can say that. Nobody can say that we are suffering more than Prahlad Maharaj.
His own father was trying to kill him.
Exactly. So such atrocious situations. I don't think anybody can claim that we are in that situation. So, and Prahlad was so blissful actually. So, we also should try our best to see Prahlad and imagine that our miseries are okay, you know. It's not worth discussing also. We can confide with some devotee and try to find out what is to be done. But if it bothers us, we can discuss out, no problem. But we should know that our troubles are nothing compared to the troubles of so many people who have undergone so much of difficulties and still maintained their devotion to Krishna. So much of zeal, so much of intensity, so much of desire and determination. Nothing could stop them. Because nobody can stop pure devotional service. Nothing material can stop bhakti from the heart of devotees.
Anushilanam.
Anushilanam is pleasing actually. Krishna Anushilanam is pleasing, favorably pleasing. Anushilanam is pleasing the heart of Krishna. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Guruji. Guruji, last night when we were discussing, saying that, you know, we should, like you were saying that how we should try to go back to Godhead in this lifetime itself. And sometimes you feel that, you know, that time is running away very fast. You know, now it's 35, like, you know, I'm 35 now. And 10-15 years, already 10 years more than now, you know, chanting. But I feel that, you know, still the time is running away and I will not be able to achieve the end goal this lifetime. And I feel that it's dreadful to actually again take birth and, you know, to undergo all this again. He's saying that's a good part.
So what is your question?
So what I feel is that time is running away for us all of the time is running very fast actually, and there is a point where, you know, where right now, you know, there is karma mishra or something, there is a mishra bhakti, right? Like, you know, we are actually doing material life, you know, we are not like serving you full time like you, and, you know, we are doing our we are also engaging some part in devotional service. So I feel that there will be when will that time come where we'll be completely devoted to Krishna consciousness, you know? Will that time come, and will it be too late then, you know? So that kind of worry.
Will that time come when we will completely dedicate our life to Krishna?
Or that worry is there always we'll be too late to actually get that time.
No. Your question was, when will that time come when we will serve like full time?
Yeah, full full time rather than stop? Like, and will it be too late by then?
The answer is very simple. Whenever you want, the time will come. Whenever you want, that time onwards you can start serving fully. And it's not necessary that you have to change your geographical locations. Wherever you are, it's only the change of heart. What we discuss in the morning is the same thing. It is just changing thought process, that's all. Our thought process, if it is as you say, if your thought process is now mixed, as you said, my house is mixed with some desire to enjoy something and desire to have Krishna also is mixed with some things. Instantly you can change it. I don't want mixed. I want pure. It is all yours immediately. No geographical situation, no physical and conditions can hinder you in your Shuddha Bhakti. Wherever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, you can instantly perform Shuddha Bhakti. You don't have to wait for something to happen to make that thing realize in life. It is not necessary. In the given situation, in the given moment of your life, you can start doing performing Shuddha Bhakti.
Feel that I am not able to do enough.
That is good. If you, everybody should feel that we are not able to do enough. Everyone should feel like that.
How should we feel blissful? Sir, I mean, they'll do it.
You can feel blissful. The formula of becoming blissful is, first thing is to accept Lord's arrangement as perfect, as good for me, number one. And not only accept it, but accept it gratefully. Be grateful for what Krishna is sending you. It may be bad for our senses and our mind and our emotions, but as it is coming for us, and we have declared to Krishna, we want to become your devotees, and whatever things are happening, it may be a variety of things in your life different, my life different, his life different, her life different. But whatever is happening in one's life, if one is accepting it and then being grateful for it, then one can become blissful. Because when you can become grateful, that it is for my good only. And when you think that everything is happening for my good, you have to become blissful. Right? When you are not blissful, when you think that, why this is happening to me? It shouldn't happen this way. It should happen this way. I feel that would have been nice, you know, if this would have come. Why this happened? When that question why comes, immediately the bliss chain is broken. No bliss.
Usually it happens the other way around. That we are getting so much that we have become complacent. So the bliss goes. You know, so that also is bliss. Because we become complacent.
So let's go to the first situation and I'll come to that situation. So that's why contemplation is very important for a devotee. Deep contemplation. Constantly devotee has to be thinking. How to reconcile with the given situation and me. The given conditions are apparently disturbing us. The senses are not in alignment with Krishna completely. So when things come, the senses react in a negative way. But then the soul...
Small things like, you know, for example, like, I want to get up in the morning. These duties schedules or something, and then you sleep late. And then I think, you know, when will that day come? And, you know, like how he's feeling, yeah.
But
to actually get up.
But... In your given situations, you have to find out a solution, how to read regularly and convince oneself to do this.
I know.
Yeah.
That is
so that determination, that determination is totally with you.
Like, as he said, the pressure is mounting, I feel, okay, I'm already 15, now I should be doing this, and it doesn't happen.
There has to be a desire to do that, and there has to be an effort from your side to do it also. And keep trying things what Krishna cannot do. There is one doctor in Bombay, in our group, his name is Dr. Kishore Rangnekar, Kishore Gopal Prabhu. You know, he is a pediatrician, and he is also an emergency man. He has to always attend emergencies, patients are admitted. But he is determined to go to chanting every day in Radha Girdhari Mandir. And he said after some time, a situation came, call would come either at 4 o'clock in the morning or after 7:30 in the morning. I'm still impressed with that, you know. He said that once I determined myself to go to temple in the morning to chant, the emergency, who is ultimately arranging emergency? It's Krishna only, you know. Either to disturb you in chanting or not chanting, he decides that. Or he puts you to test. He said, in my life, either emergency come before 4 o'clock or after 7:30. He's not just telling you some story, you know, it's a fact actually. Yeah. So it is only to what extent you show Krishna, okay, I want it to serve you in his service. And to that extent Krishna will, if he desires so, he will arrange. Like that. And second question is complacency. Complacency is one of the big diseases in Krishna consciousness. If our senses get enough for gratification, then you feel happy about it. And that itself binds you and drowns you afterwards.
We mistake it to be the bliss in
Krishna. Maya is very clever. Maya exactly gives you understanding that is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. Thinking it to be Krishna consciousness. It's like taking the rope to be a snake. It's not a snake, but you think it is a snake. And you get the feeling as if it is a snake. And all the emotional reverberations starts when you think like it is a snake. So you think it is spiritual bliss. But actually it is material sense gratification. Sorry to say, I'm just being very straightforward. So when that happens and that, what is the symptom of that? You may be in most opulent conditions of all facilities, or you may be in a poorest condition of facilities. How are you doing your sadhana with enthusiasm, and how fixed you are in your sadhana? That is a barometer. Whether it is complacency, or whether it is over-endeavor, or whether it is under-endeavor, or whether it is what, or all barometer is your sadhana, how you are doing sadhana every single day. Where is your heart? How intense you are? How determined you are? How dedicated you are to your sadhana process? And everything, then you are eating, then you are sleeping, then you are, everything is in alignment of that. Including your weight also. It's an alignment of that, you know. If you are determined to do a sadhana, then you have to, you know, keep things in place. You cannot just expect yourself to be getting up early morning when you eat late night, you know, when you sleep late night. You cannot cross the laws of material nature and be blissful in Krishna consciousness. You have to be under the laws of material nature. As long as you have a body and you live in the material world, you have to be under the laws of material nature. You cannot escape it. Only when we die and Krishna chooses us to go to Golok Vrindavan, we are out of the laws of material nature. In that time, even a pure devotee, he also has to eat and sleep and take medicine and sleep. And he can't say, I will not sleep only now, here onwards. I am transcendental. There is nothing like that. Everybody falls sick. Everybody gets into disease. And so many great souls have died out of cancer and so many diseases. Pure devotees. So we cannot break this channel of material energy. So acharyas give us guidance that we have to go along with the waves of material energy. For example, if you are rowing in a ocean, so you have to go in the direction of the breeze to get speed, you know, and maneuver your sail in such a way that you are with the direction. You can't say I want to go that direction. Then you can never be successful, because you never can overcome the power of the breeze in that situation. You can never overcome. So what we do is we go along with the modes of material nature. Along with the modes of material nature. If your body tells you that sleep early, take less food in the night, then we go along with that. You can't say I'll eat full stomach and I'll still show you, I'll get him at 4:30 in the morning. It's just a myth. It doesn't happen like that. You know? Nobody can do it actually. Or maybe you can do it one day to just show people, and next day you are knocked down completely. Next 7 days maybe you are knocked down. Who knows? It's like that. So complacency, when material opulence comes, no, this is one disease that sets in. And it convinces you to think that everything is fine, you know. Why to disturb things? Everything is so okay. I'm so used to all these things now. This standard of living is one of the things which you were discussing constantly in Saudi Arabia when I was living there. Because there is always a rut, always there is a chase of standard of living. Because in the material world, always there are people, and always there are people who are above you, and always there are people who are below you. And we are advised by our senior devotees that whenever you have difficulty, you see the people who are below you, how they are living their lives. And that will inspire you. But definitely we look up to the people who are above us when we are in difficulty. If I was like that, no, this difficulty wouldn't have been there. If I had this, then this wouldn't have been there. And this is never ending situation. It can never end. You have to break it yourself and get out of it. We say maybe the gate is out here, gate is out here, gate is out here. But you go round and round and round. There is no exit. There is only entanglement inside. You go round and round and round. Like some airports you go. And there are so many terminals. You just go round and round. You find, don't find your terminal, where your terminal is to get out. So complicated it is. So bewildering it is. So many shops in between. So many cars standing for advertisements. And you don't know where your terminal is. So like that, complacency is like that. You know, you keep on searching and there's so many dazzling things and you go round and round and round and remain there only inside. So I would say you may be in the most opulent situation or you may be in the most empowered situation. See that your sadhana on the way back to Krishna for Krishna consciousness has to be very, very strong. That is most important. And always look into those items of sadhana, about chanting, about reading, about your vratas, whatever you do for ekadashis and all. Whatever you are supposed to do, A, B, C, D, regularly, look into that. There will be some problem there. Don't think of, you know, I don't know this particular principle in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You talk about A, B, C, D. It's like cricketer first finds out whether he is standing properly on the crease or not. That's the first thing he sees. Not that he, why couldn't do the hook shot properly. So whether I'm standing properly or not, whether my bat is holding in the hand properly or not. Always look into fundamentals. And please understand one thing. Wherever we are, whatever we are, this is the only lifetime that we have, that you can make an offering to Krishna. Next lifetime, no one knows. This is the one lifetime which is for sure in your hand. With full knowledge, with full consciousness, with full awareness, now you can say, okay, now I am on right path. Because now I know what is my duty, who am I, who my Lord is, what my duty towards Him is, what is the goal of life is. Now you can very boldly say, okay, in this lifetime I can boldly say what my goal of life is. So, when you know, that time is the best time to make an offering. And not later on. There is nothing like an appropriate time. All the moments of human life are highly potential to give you Shuddha Bhakti. All moments, huh? Not moments in India of childhood, not moments in Bahrain in middle age, not moments of old age in USA, and not moments of final stage in Vrindavan. Don't think like that. These are all external situations which are favorable or unfavorable depending on your consciousness. But every moment of human life, human lifetime moments, are potential enough to give you Shuddha Bhakti. You can say, my daughter like that, no, Habda Brahmi is not there, no activities. But every moment is potential to receive Krishna consciousness. I think she is receiving the highest situation of Krishna consciousness. So what we can say? In the heart of hearts we are convinced that she is receiving the best of Krishna consciousness. In her given situations, she can complain millions of times, why this and why that. But how much tolerance must be there in her life and how much acceptance of Krishna is there in her life? So, do we have any reason to say that we have difficulties? What reason we have? We don't have any reason. So, make use of the given moment best and try to see what I can do today and now in the best possible way. Rather than waiting for a situation when that day will come. That day will never come. Please note it down. That day will never come. If it is not today, never it will come. If at all it is there, it is today and now. Because that is only in your hand. Tomorrow is not even in your hand. Yes.
Today morning class you said that...
Is it relevant to this point? Yeah, let me complete this point. Yeah.
You said today, now is the time. And we see some devotees, you know, today, now, they decide that now is the time and they go ahead and, you know, commit simple activity. And they commit for their life for Krishna, life for Prabhupada's movement and all that. And after some time, they are in difficulties. And some other devotees, you know, they took an immature decision. This was not the right time to do it. So you know, you are afraid then again, you know, that.
So again, how we take a decision?
How we
always take a decision in consultation with our Guru. If not Guru, then the person appointed by Guru to guide us. Any decision that we take is always under the guidance of Guru. We do not take any decisions, any major decisions, without asking Gurudev. When we do that decision without asking Gurudev, then there are some situations you will get complicated with. If we say our life is sold out to Gurudev, and we may say, oh, he's not available to discuss, what? So there are his representatives available, whom you trust, and he also trusts them to guide you. And you have, right?
Yeah.
And you ask. So commitment means doesn't mean that you take a whimsical decision. Okay, I have heard that Antakali Chamamba was, right now I jump in the ocean and think of Krishna. It's not possible to die like that. So, I just gave an extreme example, but point is that if that is the decision you want to make, then consult before and make sure that this is the will of the Lord. Because will of the Lord comes to you through the authority Krishna has established over you. Their authority over you may not be pure devotee at times, but because it's a line of pure devotional service, I mean the acharyas, at that moment of time for you, that authority gets fully empowered. And Krishna speaks through that authority. Because you have that faith that Krishna will speak through him or her. And then Krishna will speak. If this line of authority there, then the same empowerment is there. And you get the proper guidance what Krishna wants to give you. And that's how we do. And I think, I am at least convinced, each of us have enough guidance available, even today, how to do our Krishna consciousness best at the given moment of time. Every one of us. Just cross your hearts and think, do I have a guidance how to do my Krishna consciousness at the given moment of time? How to do best? Yes, everybody has a guidance. But we fail in accomplishing that because of our lack of sincerity and lack of dedication and determination. What is ultimately growth? Growth means we develop determination, develop dedication, we develop gratitude, we develop humility, we develop tolerance. These are the symptoms of growth. Don't have this and we are not growing actually. Growth doesn't mean that we progress in position, we become commander, then we become president, then we become regional secretary, then we become GBC. This is not a real hierarchy of growth. This is a facility for service actually. It's just a situation where we can serve. But real internal growth is this. And the most important growth is gratitude. You become grateful for whatever you are receiving. Truly grateful, utterly grateful at the heart. Thank you, my Lord, that you are putting me at your feet, keeping me at your feet all the time, giving me yourself all the time. Let me be grateful to you. You pray that. Please, let me be grateful to you for whatever you are giving. And if you remain like that, then it is today, after 10 years, life is perfect. You know? So, did you get the answer? Yes, what you were saying?
Oh, today morning class, you mentioned that it's not the deed, it's the thoughts. Which is behind the process. Now my question is, how do we change the thought? Initially, is it artificially to be thought about? To make it more simple, say for example, when I'm chanting that each mantra comes to my ear. Maybe an association of devotees or alone and chanting it loud. But what exactly is the thought process which will change eventually?
Thought process changes by hearing. When we hear how our life has changed now, before we were eating meat and doing so many things, now we don't do things because we heard from somebody bona fide. And that changed our thought. As soon as thought was changed, life was changed. Everything changed. Everything, dressing changed, way of lifestyle changed, everything changed. Internally changed. You didn't change your profession, you're still working and making money and maintaining your house. But internally, all thought process changed. So, how to change the thought process, how to make it more intense? To always be with people who are in that intense mode of Krishna consciousness. When you think that your thought process is dilute and not so strong and not so intense, you always associate with the person who has strong and intense thought process for Krishna. And you hear from him. You open your heart to him and hear from him. And you develop that intensity of desire. Just by association. If you don't have somebody, you are traveling somewhere and you are alone, Then Upadeshamrut is there. Bhaktirasamrut Sindhu is there. Bhagavad Gita is there. Krishna is directly speaking to you. And you can get that inspiration. Arjuna had everything, all possible things. But still he felt morose, na? I don't want to fight. It's too much for me. I can't lift my bow also. My skin is burning. I'm totally bewildered. Then he heard from Krishna. And then he stood up again. And then his skin was not burning. The Gandhi was not slipping from his hands. Because he heard. So what did happen to him? He heard from Krishna and he got all the courage that he required. So he had lost that intensity, regained the intensity, and he stood up again. And then there was no question again. Some minor questions are there, but not major questions. Should I fight or not? That was another question. That is the power of association. So always keep association, not of so-called devotees, but keep association of those devotees who have that depth of Krishna consciousness, substance in them. Look for them, associate with them, and serve them. That's how you will develop that same desire in your heart. By serving such devotees who are so sincerely and dedicatedly exemplifying their life, be with them, hear from them, concentrate on them, focus on them, serve them, and you will have the same desire that they have.
So this is along with your routine chanting, reading?
Yes, yes.
Will be most important.
There are two yugadharmas. One is the holy name, and second is Vaishnava Seva.
Both are equally important.
Both are interdependent also. Suppose you feel absolutely hopeless, chanting is not so going well, but don't give up Vaishnava Seva. Keep serving Vaishnavas. Chanting also will come back again nicely. And when you chant nicely, more Vaishnava Seva will come. And do more nicely Vaishnava Seva, more chanting will come. So we are very fortunate. Isn't that very simple? Just to find a sincere devotee and to serve him and please him. So you are not told to serve the Prime Minister of India. You can't even reach him. It's so difficult a task to find out how to serve him. But devotees are everywhere. You always find somebody whom you can associate with. And if nobody is there, Prabhupada is still there in his books available to you. Reading Prabhupada's books is serving Prabhupada actually. Why he wrote all the books? So that you can read them. And he is most pleased when you read his books and understand the message of Krishna consciousness. When I was in Saudi Arabia, I was alone there for so many months. 9 months I didn't meet anybody. My only shelter was Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I had carried with great arrangements. I had carried about 27 books just to carry that book in between. Yeah. I cannot forget that experience. There was no one, you know. Prabhupada's purports were there with me. As if it was like Prabhupada was holding me in his lap, caressing and explaining everything to me, lovingly every day. So one cannot say that I am alone and no one is there, what can I do now? If you have a desire, then Krishna is always there with you in some form or the other. Always there with you. You may be in desert, you know, alone. Still Krishna will be with you. It's all, as I discussed in the morning, it all depends upon how you think about life. What thought processes you have cultivated with effort in your life from beginning. That will lead you to Krishna. So when apparently everything is fine, maybe you are not sick, maybe you are not in financial distress, maybe you know, you are not in familial distress, relationship distress, maybe things are apparently okay. Time to cultivate pure thought process in Krishna consciousness. And that cultivated thought process will help you when you go in difficulty apparently. What comes to rescue for you is your culture or training that you received. When you are okay, whatever you received comes to your rescue when you are in difficulty. And when you use that in a difficult situation, you get further realization and your thought process becomes more intense. Your faith becomes more strengthened. And again you cultivate things and again a big disaster comes. Again you apply the same thought process to that and you get through that. That is the beautiful life of Krishna consciousness. Actually, Krishna consciousness has answer to all your situations of life. There is not a situation in life which you say, this is beyond Krishna consciousness. This is not possible. Prahlad Maharaj with life and death situation. And how he attracted Narsingdev to him. Who else can say, okay, I am having much more problem than Prahlad? So Prahlad, whatever thought process he cultivated right from the womb of his mother, what he heard from Narad Muni, he kept on cultivating it in spite of all the atrocious situations around him. Most negative, unfavorable conditions around him. And that same thought process took him through all the difficulties that he had in life. In fact, he didn't even feel the difficulties around him. So his thought process was so strong. Narsingdev is telling him that you suffered so much for him, for me. And he's saying, no, my lord, I never suffered. No, you suffered so much for me. You did so much for me, I want to give you something. No, my lord, I was always blissful chanting your name, remembering you. See the power of this thought process. So Prabhupada says, thought of Krishna is the ultimate thought process. What a statement he made today. And that is available to Prahlad also and to you and me also. Please understand. Nothing separate is given to him and nothing separate is served to you. The same philosophy is served to you and was served to him in the womb by Narad Muni. Nothing different. So in one sense, we, you and me and Prahlad had equal opportunities. Prahlad made best use of opportunity and we are somehow failing here and there, so we are fumbled. But opportunity point of view, you and me have the same opportunity as much as Prahlad, as much as Draupadi. As much as Draupadi also. Gopis could have said, what is the use of our life? He has gone now to Mathura and to Hastinapur. We should forget him and start our routine life anyways. He's not going to come back. And he didn't come back for 112 years. But whatever opportunities they had, they continued their Krishna consciousness. And whatever opportunities the wives of Krishna had in Dwarka, they continued their Krishna consciousness. So those who are with him or those who are without him, both of them exemplified how to make the best use of the given situations in life. Yeah, Draupadi was disrobed by Dushasan, no? So what opportunity she had to call Krishna, the same opportunity you also have to call Krishna. I'm trying to make that point. She didn't have more opportunity and you didn't have less opportunity.
She would put in that situation.
Yeah, so if that she can, in that situation she can call out Krishna and take the opportunity of having Krishna with her, why can't we in our given situation? In her given situation, she called Krishna and she got Krishna. In our situation, we can call Krishna and get Krishna. In that sense, the opportunities are equal. Situations may differ. But opportunity is equal.
You always keep deviating now,
Prabhu. So I keep good association. Keep good association of people who are fixed and determined. And fixed in Krishna consciousness. Association is available in plenty, in large number. And nothing to criticize that. But even amongst that, you have to choose that association for you, the devotees who are fixed in Krishna consciousness. And you always know around you who are like that, and who are dicey, and who are dilute, and who are fixed, and who are intense. You know everything. You can make out. And you have a choice to go to that intense association, and take the association, and become intense. Which other lifetime we can do that? Tell me now. Which other lifetime will allow you to have such facility? We are in the golden age of Kali Yuga now, in Mahaprabhu's golden period. What better opportunity can be there? Krishna has put you in the most beautiful situation. From individual point of view, it has been designed, individually customized for you to make extremely wonderful progress in Krishna consciousness. We have to learn to see the perfection in the given situation. And we'll make tremendous progress. But if you disobey our authority, then even if you try to make your best opportunities, you will not be successful in that. So obedience, you know, saying yes sir, I don't like it, but you are saying it, yes sir, thank you very much. And doing it, you know. Prahlad had a choice. He had a choice that, yes, Papa, whatever you say is best. I just do whatever you say. He would have avoided all his atrocities. Only by saying, yes, Father, one word, he could have avoided everything that he had to go through. But he had the association of Narad Muni, and he was fixed, and he was bold, and he was fearless. He was ready to undergo anything for the truth. Because he was ready, Krishna protected him all throughout his difficulties. Because he never deviated from the path. He never took a complacent turn. Aray, looks very difficult, yaar. Haan, bol do. Vaisabhi, I will become the king of the whole universe. You just wait and watch. One day he will go, I'll become the king. Why to bother so much? Complacency, that is complacency. He could have said, anyway, he has a lot of opulence, he anyway loves me, everything he's come becomes mine after some time. Why do I have tussle? Just be happy, let him happy, let me be happy also. But his convictions were very high level convictions. So he had a determination, and determination to tell him that, no, Father, you are a fool. This is the way of life, Manashwar. This is what I have learnt. And result was absolutely ours, because we said all these things. People would say, you are a foolish person. Why you say like this? You are not in a favorable condition now to exactly do what you want to do. You will get ruinated. But he had that conviction. And things exactly happened, exactly unwanted things happened, like all the atrocities. But then he was through like, as if lotus flower was carrying him everywhere. So because he is not hypocrite.
In the school was exactly opposite.
Because he was simple hearted, non duplicitous person.
He was.
So it is in a given situation. They took decision is to avoid situations. We cannot say Bibhishan was higher or lower than Prahlad. He did what was necessary at that time. Right? Prahlad did whatever necessary at that time. It all depends upon individual's conviction situations. We have example of Bibhishan also, we have example of Prahlad also. And they did it like this. Now we have to decide how we want to go ahead.
You cannot cheat Krishna. In your heart, you have to be very, very
honest. We will get utterly cheated if we try to cheat Krishna. Ourselves. No, he will not get cheated, but we will get cheated. We will get fooled completely. So one mantra which Guru Maharaj keeps on telling again and again is, be simple and free from ulterior motivation. Don't keep anything in mind. He's ulteriorly motivated. Just keep simple hearted, be transparent, be simple. That is so helpful, If I tell one lie to you now, I have to keep that lie on, I have to make so many other lies, In false situations, I have to keep on imagining what I told last time, now I told last time. Instead, if you are truthful, matter ends there only. No? There is no confusion, no communication, no confusion. So much energy goes in that, till one lie, and be untruthful in one situation. You have to face that truth. Truth is like this, you have to accept it.
Last time there was a question by some people, that I am chanting very nicely, attentively, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
So what is the question?
So you say when I chant very nicely, everything will be becoming alright, but I'm trying my level best to chant nicely and horrible things are coming. I start doing wrong things in the evening, in the night. How is my chanting not protecting me from doing wrong things?
Because we are in the sadhaka stage, in the initial stage, which pile of ocean, mountain-like garbage is there. And yes, we are sweeping every day, but ocean is, mountain is there, big mountain. So gradually it will happen. We have to have so patience. So many lifetimes we have conditioned and cultured and cultivated our thought processes in our opposite direction. And now 2-3 years and 4 years have passed. Maybe 30 years in front of the eternity we have put into Krishna consciousness. And we want to just get the disease cured immediately. The roots are so deep and so widespread inside. Our chanting is not strong enough. You may say, I'm chanting, I'm hearing attentively everything, but it is not that, you know. If our chanting is that strong, then instantly everything will burn up. We have to face the reality. We are not what we claim to be. How do I serve now?
This is my lifetime I have, and just go about it. Yeah. Don't worry about the results, when they'll come, why they're not coming in 10 years. There's so much of energy going.
How things are going to happen is in the hands of Krishna. We cannot dictate and control that what he should do for us. We have to just humble enough to accept what things are happening as best for us. And to that question, to that person, if he chants Hare Krishna very nicely in the daytime and immediately bad thoughts come, then he can read Krishna Katha, can read Ram Leela, can read Gaur Leela, absorb himself, then he should take some service regularly to serve the devotees. These are the antidotes of all these bad thought processes. How we combat with thought processes. If we have variety of activities in Krishna consciousness, if we get bored with chanting, then there is Leela reading is there. You can read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can read Bhagavatam. If you are bored with that also, you can serve the devotees, go to temple, do some activity there, wash utensils of Krishna, do arati of Krishna, whatever service is given to you, do it humbly and nicely. If you get bored with that, you can come and chant Hare Krishna, and participate in kirtan, eat prasad. Not like because this is gulab jam and this is Arabic food. This food is offered to Krishna. Is shaka Krishna aswadilo. That mood you eat, that activity will purify you. If you eat with this consciousness that this is food offered to Krishna, he's accepted this food. That thought will, the gulab jam will not heal you. The thought of your consciousness will heal you, will help you. Yeah, what are you saying?
Like I'm always feeling a mayaderous taste. So how I can advance? Yeah, I'm always failing in this. So how I can advance?
Don't worry about all that thing. I'm feeling a passing, or I'm flying, passing flying colors and all. Our duty is just to keep doing what we are supposed to do. That's all. Success, failure, he will decide what to give you or not to give you. And what we consider as failure, who knows what it is? What we consider success, who knows what it is? Success, failure, who can judge? Your situation can be interpreted as success also. Your condition can be interpreted as failure also. Words are so tricky. So don't go about that. This negativity in thinking, no, will put us off in Krishna consciousness. Try your best. You have to just see what is our privilege. Our privilege is to try 100%. If you are able to do 100%, you are successful. You will not pass in flying colors, but if you put your efforts, should be happy and successful. Happy about your endeavor. If you fail in that, you know, you can call yourself as unsuccessful. It's like somebody who's so intelligent but doesn't work hard, but still he stands first and he feels so happy about himself. But if he's so intelligent, he works so hard and then he gets another result, then he's real successful, because he has, with his given weapons of intelligence, he has put efforts also. When 100% effort is there, then mercy comes. Then results come. When you endeavor, the mercy is attracted and then results come. Results follow accordingly. So, was Bhishma unsuccessful by dying in the battle? It can be interpreted, see, unsuccessful. But you are successful in pleasing Krishna by whatever he did. Krishna actually used him. Used his example, his personality, to prove a certain fact to the whole world. And at the cost of defamy, he accepted the side of Pandavas, Kauravas, and lay his life down. So, successful. Was Jatayu unsuccessful or successful? Jatayu was defeated by Taravan. He couldn't save Sita. In front of his eyes, Sita was stolen. So, unsuccessful. No, he's not unsuccessful. Arjuna won the war. Was he successful or unsuccessful? Successful. So external things are not determining your success. Your success is determined by what you do as per the order given to you. Arjuna actually failed when he refused to fight for a temporary period. But he passed with flying colors when he fought the war. And Bhishmadev died and he was also passed with flying colors. That time he died, but also he was passing with flying colors. We are talking about spiritual failure and success. We are not talking about external, like somebody died, somebody did not die. Success is whether we were able to think of Krishna in the given situations. Your most beloved person may die, you know, and we may think, why this Krishna is doing to me? But how much grateful we were to Krishna, how much we were thinking of Krishna, that is success. Man mana bhava mad bhakta. Just remember, think of Krishna. All the time. And if you can't do that, pray to Krishna to give you the strength to remember him all the time. What are you going to do? You ask when you fail in your physical effort. You ask to Krishna, please help me. Not ask for some material benefits, but ask for shelter. Ask for being able to pray and to take shelter. Ask for being able to remember. Ask for being able to serve his devotees and please him. Ask for the situations and ability and opportunity to please him in the given situations. You don't say, if I go to this platform, then I'm in a better position to pray. No, you pray in a given situation. Your given situation is the best situation given to you. And that is how it answers your question. How to be happy is by that only. To accept the situation as it is, not as it should be or it should have been. Accept situations as they are. And see perfection in that. Then our life is in alignment with Krishna fully. Thy will be done will be realized in life when we accept the current situation as the mercy of the Lord. But that is the will of the Lord, which you cannot change. And that when you accept gratefully, that is real success. So, shall we end here? Yes, Prabhuji, any question? Yeah. I hope I am not making any arrogant statements.
I wrote that compelled
to make distinction. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Lakshman, Balaram, Nityananda and Radharani, a few of the personalities were our saviors. At times of difficulties we can take shelter of Radharani, Balaram, Lakshman and Nityananda Prabhu. And they will save us. If we can't reach them, then we have a Gurudev. We can approach him, offer our life and prayers to him, and then help us. Because they are representative of Baldev, Nityananda, Lakshman and Radharani to us. And they'll help us. And at times, these four personalities can appear through any personality for your benefit, in the form of words and instructions. Deliver us from the given difficult situation and to remain Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna.